Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us live on the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard tonight. We're going to go into part one of the missing birthright. We're going to explore, explain, and investigate some of the great mysteries that are hidden in the Bible. We've got to do some really serious investigating. Because, you see, the Bible says that the certain men crept in unaware. And whatever they've done to the Bible is the warning. And we have ample warning even by the prophets of all. Yahweh himself warned of this in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 25-26 to be specific. But many other verses in the Holy Word warns us to beware of the scribes. Christ himself replied to those who were followers of his that they too must beware of the scribes. Well, that brings it into our day. And what do scribes do? Well, basically, they want to do a little alteration in the Word. That's what scribes do. They are supposed to be copiers, tedious copiers, that is, of the ancient text. When one copy of the scrolls would wear out, one book, then they were in charge of copying the original as the original stated. But we believe that certain men have had reasons in the past to change certain texts in the Bible. Now, where and why and when is the investigative exercise that we're going to undertake here in part one of the missing birthright. Now, Genesis chapter 12, verse 8. We're going to look into that. This is the first recorded instance in the Bible where Bethel is specifically mentioned as a location. And Abraham removed from hence into a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel, B-E-T-H-E-L, Bethel on the west, and Hiah on the east. And there he built an altar unto Yahweh and called upon the name of Yahweh. As early as Genesis chapter 8, we have references where that our founding father, Abraham, called upon Yahweh. Now, he removed from a mountain on the east of Bethel. At Genesis 13:3, we find that he goes on his journey from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hiah. I want to ask you a question. As we're setting precedent scriptures to indicate a habit, there was something around this chosen area of Bethel that not only appealed to Abraham, that he was drawn there, but in the future, we'll see as we go through the Bible on In Search of the Birthright, the Missing Birthright, we'll see that Bethel pops up time after time after time to the succeeding offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This place had some kind of spiritual significance and appeal to these men. Now remember, these are prophets. These men were moved on as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so then they didn't do anything until the Holy Spirit called into the area of the spirit place on earth where Yahweh had pre-chosen. Now, in 28:19, we're going to jump from Abraham over to Jacob. Well, I'm sorry, this is right. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 28 for just a moment. And as we lay some groundwork, we're going to try to build a gestalt, if you will, of understanding into the main features of why that Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, "Thou shalt not take a wife out of the daughters of Canaan." 28:1. "Thou shalt not take a daughter out of the Canaanites." Why was it restricted? Why was it important to keep the blood of Jacob as well as Isaac? Remember, Abraham caused his servant to swear that he wouldn't take a daughter out of the Canaanites also for his son Isaac. And Isaac was told the same thing, to seek a daughter among his own kind, among his own people. And this is what we know, that Jacob was called a Syrian. The Aryan race, ladies and gentlemen, where he went up to the snow-capped mountains of Lebanon. And the word Lebanon means white builders. So then there was a kingdom of what we call the Melchizedek bloodline, the remnants of the Melchizedek bloodline that went in prior to the Egyptians, now known as Egyptians, but prior to them, this Melchizedek bloodline, the one that met Abraham in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. Here, as we look at Jacob in the 28th chapter, in verse 18, "And Jacob arose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it." Now, where was he at? He was at Bethel, the same place that his grandfather, Abraham, and his father, Isaac, worshipped on this mountain called Bethel. We're going to show you the significance of this geographical area. It's amazing how much that the Father has achieved. He chose this place specifically. And ladies and gentlemen, he chose this place specifically because his name was already written in the mountains of Bethel, now called Mount Ephraim, where Christ spent his last 30 days of his life. He spent it in a city called Ephraim. Now why? Why would the Messiah go to Ephraim and not go to Bethlehem, Judea, his old home place, if that was his old home place? Well, we're going to prove that that was not his home place. Bethlehem, Judea had nothing to do with the birthplace of Christ the Messiah. Christ the Messiah was the descendant of David. David himself was not Jewish, so he didn't have anything to do with Bethlehem, Judea, as we are supposed. And this is where the lying pen of the scribes enters to try to alter certain texts to indicate that the coming Messiah would be Jewish rather than Israelite. You say, is there a difference? Oh, yes, there is. That was the house of Israel, and that was the house of Judah. The Yehudians is the proper word for Hebrew, now known as shortened term to Jews. That is a misnomer. But it's Yehudian, meaning the nation of Judah. Well, we have the nation of Dan. Where they at? Well, we know where they're at in history. History tells us exactly where the tribe of Dan was to be in the encampment. And wherever that this encampment was a place, this tribe, this son, was placed in Numbers chapter 2. A little bit of shuffle in Revelation 7 because of Manasseh and Ephraim coming into the picture. So there was a slight shuffle. So you have to go from that segment of placement in Numbers chapter 2 where all tribes are identified in the locations that they would go throughout the earth and into the earth. And it's amazing how Yahweh knew, preordained, predestined. He knew that they would not stay in what we call the original land of milk and honey. It was the land of milk and honey to supply the needs of a few people, not the many. Because Yahweh had promised Abraham here in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis that he would supply him with enough seed that it would fill the earth and become as the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. And so it was not possible for that little sandbox area, that little desert. Let's take it for granted that when they went in there, it was not desert, but we do know they marched in the wilderness. It was uninhabited land for 40 years before they were ever permitted to go into the land of milk and honey. And yes, they found the grapes. One pod, it took two men to carry. So this is a very fertile land. And that land doesn't exist over there today because of the rebellion, the sin, and being cast out, that it would become a desert place. And the fowl of the cage forever unclean spirit. And so that place is called literally in the Bible Revelation, Jerusalem, the place where that David moved from Shiloh, which was at Bethel, where the name was first placed. He moved that and temple to the city of David when he secured Benjamin's territory. Now listen, this is not Judah's territory. When he secured the territory of Benjamin, this territory that Jerusalem, present-day Jerusalem is in the territory of Benjamin, and Benjamin was an Israelite, not a Judite. So the Jews have no claim to the city territory because they cannot claim property that doesn't belong to them. Just like they can't claim a birthright that was never given to them. And there's no scripture in the Bible that says that Almighty God gave Judah or his descendants a birthright. Just like that. And yet people assume that he did. Well, this assumption is based on where Christ was born. This is a great controversy. It was a controversy 2,000 years ago. That was actually an argument in the New Testament of where Christ was going to be born and what nationality he would be. Did Christ ever say he was Jewish? No, he didn't. Did he ever confess he was a Jew? No, he didn't. Did any of the apostolic apostles that he chose, remember he chose 12, one of them was a devil, one of them was from the house of Judah, and he was a devil. He was a Canaanite. He was mixed blood of Genesis 38, where Genesis tells us in context that Judah married a Canaanite woman, and this Canaanite seed began to fuse into the sons of Judah and the daughters of Judah. Now, it's a genetic nightmare. So, no wonder Christ said, I know that you tried them as Savior, Jews are not, but found them to be liars. Christ knew them because he rebuked them in the 8th chapter of John when he said, your father's the devil. How would it be? When they said, and he confirmed that they were children of Abraham. Well, it's very plain. Judah was a nephew, if you will, of Abraham. Abraham was his grandfather, would be better placed. Abraham was his grandfather. And Isaac would have been the son of Jacob, and Jacob would have produced Judah and the other 11 tribes. Well, there is a significant amount of Bible written expressively and exclusively for your information that Joseph was the one chosen to be the birthright son. And what does this mean? Well, it means that this holy place, Bethel, would become the territorial possession of he who has the birthright. It was handed from Abraham to Isaac. The Bible said that Isaac received everything Abraham had. And Isaac bestowed his birthright privileges upon Jacob. And Jacob bestowed the birthright upon Joseph. Now, it may not fit your fancy. You may think someone else in the family deserved it. But Yahweh had his way. Yes, he had to resort to some, well, if I use the word trickery, it may be a little strong language, but basically that's what it was. Jacob had to have the birthright because he deserved the birthright. He was in line for the birthright. And he got it. Yahweh approved it. And I told you in the circumtracts and in the house of the serpent how the snake got in, what we've done the series on, and this is the third in the series that we're doing, and tonight we're talking about the missing birthright. Nobody ever talks about Joseph, the tribe of Joseph, being God's chosen people. They always talk about the Jews being God's chosen people. And it's not true. They were only 1/13 of the equation. Joseph got the double blessing. He should have the distinctive honor of being the birthright son. Because that's who he is. And that will be forever settled, whether you believe it or not, didn't change the fact that Yahweh did not, and I repeat, did not, remove the birthright from the house of Joseph and give it to the house of Judah. He did not. Whether you believe it or not, the Jews themselves, and when I say the Jews, I'm talking about those who were mixed with the blood of Cain. They had much to gain by promoting themselves, loving the chief seats is what the scripture says, and they loved the saluting as being God's chosen people. They have always love the preeminent position of being, having, and gaining the sympathy of the Christian world. You see, the United States and Great Britain and all of the Aryan countries that support Israel have done it under the false assumption that the Jews are God's chosen people, when in reality, the very people that are supporting someone else are the very ones who are authorized to have the birthright. You see, the house of Joseph, if you look on the heavenly circle, and we teach this on all our divine covenant principles, if you look in the west, Joseph was in the western compassed area of the holy circle. Now, the earth is a globe. So if you go west, you go to America. Judah was in the east. That's where they stayed. Ephraim and Manasseh are the western children of the covenant promise of the tribe of Joseph. Ephraim being the principal birthright son. They carried the stone of stone, as I reported to you, of how the serpent got into the house, part 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now we're talking about the actual birthright and its genetic connection, not back to the Jews or the house of Judah, but to the house of Joseph, where it rightfully belongs. Where we have had in our possession in the house of Scotland. You see, our ancestors, the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is the United States. Manasseh is Great Britain. Most people had it the other way around. But Ephraim became a mightier nation than was Manasseh. The United States has had its thousands compared to Manasseh. And so it's a big tribe with a big territory, and the greatest nation that has ever been formulated is the wilderness area where our forefathers came from Scotland and Ireland and carved out in this wilderness a place that has become the magnificent nation, the darling, the diamond, the envy of all the earth. And the Bible says that Ephraim will drive his enemies to the ends of the earth. Whether you like it or not, we have that distinction of covenant promise that we would, and other nations would look up to us and respect us and admire us whether they like us or not. And so then we fit the description of Ephraim, not Manasseh. British Israelite identity is incorrect because they wanted the glory. That's Manasseh, he's jealous. But he was a lesser. Ephraim's the greater, and no greater nation, and no greater people, now that we've been miscegenated and internally taken over. And an enemy's ruling over us, and that was, we was warned about that from the get-go. For that now that our liberal Congress and Senate, with PAC money, has been bought out by the rich few that control the treasury and the wealth and the power and the dictation of this nation. Yes, we're going to have problems, but yes, we will rectify every problem. We've got to restore the credibility and the promise of covenant of birthright inheritance. Oh, it's amazing. This is a piece of work. Satan has come in unaware. Sowed the tares, sowed the seeds of deception, and so the tares among the wheat to the point where that we've got a genetic nightmare because he has infiltrated the bloodlines of the house of Israel, and only Yahweh himself knows those that are his. And so then, as it says, rightfully so, all Israel is not Israel. Now, the Western European Caucasian people that come through the Caucasus Mountains are identified as Caucasian. These are a special people. And God said unto Jacob, 31:13, I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of Bethel. I am the ruler of Bethel. This is sacred ground. Where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me, now arise and get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of your kindred. Chase him out. He said, I am the God of that vow. I'm the mighty one. I claim this territory, and I have told you, it's the only place that we know of geographically, globally. It is the only place, piece of real estate, that the name of Yahweh is configured into the natural formation of the mountains of Bethel. It's amazing. I've got the picture. I can send it to you if you'd like to have it. And get my address and telephone number if you'd like. And my email, I'll give it to you tonight before we end the message. And I'll send you a picture of the name written almost literally looks like with the finger of God as he wrote in the table of stone to Moses. He also wrote his name in a holy sanctified place and said, I'm the God of Bethel. Now, somebody made a Bethlehem house of God as a counterfeit copy. And you know, Bethlehem, Judea, appeared many hundreds of years later as an accurate of fact. Somebody got smart. So in their territory, they wanted a place called Bethel or House of El. And so they called it Bethel, House of God. Bethlehem, House of Abraham. But was it? No, it wasn't. It was a counterfeit place that the world would grow to love. Christians now go there by the, when there's peace, they go to Bethlehem, Judea. And Bethlehem, Judea has no spiritual connection to the mountain of God. The mountain of God now is laying desolate. It's forgotten. And you wonder why? Because men have cast the truth to the ground, converted the truth into a lie, and the people have worshipped the lie rather than the truth, and worshipped the creature rather than the creator. Ladies and gentlemen, it ought to mean something to you to know that the name of God is written not in Bethlehem, Judea, but in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. That's where the prophets prophesied that the Christ child would be born. That, in other words, the heir, the inheritor of the covenant promises was all given to the son that would be born at Bethlehem, not Judea, but Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, was Christ born in Bethlehem Ephrathah, or was he born in Bethlehem Judea? That's a $64 question. That is where you have to do your homework. And that is where you have to hear the preponderance of the evidence and then decide for yourself what city that Christ came out of. Oh, it's amazing how deception has come in to change in traditional precedent. See, tradition takes precedent over truth if it's practiced long enough. And it's just like I said, if you tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth, whether it's truth or not. Because people will repeat it, and you can believe a lie and be damned. And that's exactly what people have done in the Christian church. They will not study, they will not pray, they will not fast, they will not search, they will not see if it's so, as the good Bereans did, as they searched the scripture daily to see if these things are so. What scripture do you think they were searching? And they doesn't know. They didn't have one. What they heard from the apostolic fathers and the witnesses, they searched the Old Covenant. Well, did you know that the God that spake in the New Testament said, Moses wrote of me? Well, go back and look where Moses actually wrote of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. He said, a prophet like me will the Father raise up. And he'll have the Father's name in him. And you better obey him. Well, when the Father sent his Son into the world in his name, John 5:43, the world rejected him. The Jews killed him. See, the passion of Mel Gibson stirred up such a controversy because the Jews were afraid they were going to get blamed for killing the Messiah. Well, who was that back there that, when they clamored for his death, said, let his blood be upon us and our children? Now the children are clamoring and saying, oh, we didn't do it. Don't blame us. We didn't have nothing to do with it. Well, Christ said, I know where Satan's seat is, and I know them that... Satan has effectively come into our country, and everybody that speaks against these false Jews are branded as anti-Semitic. Now, if I was an Israelite scattered abroad and lost, and I spoke against those that say they're Jews and are not but are liars, then Christ today, if he did the same thing he did 2,000 years ago, he himself will be branded anti-Semitic. So you see the dilemma and the plight that we're in today. They have called evil good and good evil. So we've turned this thing around. And the saddest part is that the Christians believe all these lies. Genesis 35:3. Let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. Now here he is in 35:1, 35:3, he said, let us rise and go up to Bethel. He's going right back. This became a favorite stomping ground. It was actually the home place. This is where Jacob literally built his home, and he built the home of God that he worshipped, Yahweh. And in the 6th verse, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and he and all the people that were with him. They came to Luz, which is the ancient name for the name that Yahweh called Bethel. And this is where Jacob anointed the pillar. This was significant because this is the birthmark. It really, literally represents the birthmark of the chosen birth son. And ever who comes out of the blessing pact of Jacob's hand, see, Jacob anointed Joseph for the birthright. He didn't anoint Judah. He didn't anoint Levite. He didn't anoint Simeon. And he didn't anoint Reuben. And he didn't anoint all of the other tribes. He anointed the 11th son. This is the first national number in the key of the sacred numbers, 11, 22, and 33, and I've explained that to you on other messages of Revelation. So you need to get my other tapes that is on these series, and it will give you insight into the actual truth of the whole matter. Now, the Bible said, let us share the whole matter. And that's what we're doing here. In the 8th verse of 35, but Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alon. So then, Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried in the Bethel. And Jacob called the place where God spoke to him Bethel, house of El, the house of Elling. Literally, gods were in that area. This is a highly charged area where spirits were ascending and descending, angels, literally, upon the ladders. They were coming in mass down to this specific area because, and the reason why is because, Yahweh himself wrote his name there. It is the most treasured place at that time, should be now. But nobody mentions it. You've never heard it. Probably, maybe if I'm talking about the name of Yahweh that's written in the earth, maybe it's the first time you've ever heard it. And yet it ought to be the world thing. It ought to be on, I've got to see this place. And yet nobody wants to see it. Actually, the only way you can see it is from there. You can't go stand in the mountain of Bethel and discern that there is a name written there with the finger of God. You've got to be up in the air to the point where you can see down into the mountain chains, and there you can see the name of Yahweh, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, written in Aramaic Hebrew, of all things. Wonderful. Magnanimous, magnificent, and yet nobody wants it. You see, they cast the truth down to the ground. In the 16th verse, and they journeyed from Bethel, and it was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor, and she died and was buried at Ephrath. You ever think about where Ephraim, Ephrah, got his name? It means fruitful. That's what the word Ephrah means. Now, why would it call that place fruitful, and why would they call it Ephrah? fruitful or ephratah, because it is in the area of birthright privileges where the name of Yahweh is written. And right below that, written in the same configuration, is Lutz. The ancient name is actually written out in Aramaic. I mean, I'm telling you, this is incredible, that Yahweh would go to such extremes to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he would favor Bethlehem Ephrathah, not Bethlehem Judea, as the lying pen of the scribes have indicated. We say, well, buddy, the Bible says that Christ was born in Bethlehem Judea. Really? Where do you say that at? You mean it really says that Christ was born in Bethlehem, Judea? Well, people think so. But when you go back and scrutinize the word and look at it, it wasn't the prophets in the Bible that said that. It was the lying scribes. It was the scribes that lied there. They didn't even quote the correct scripture. All they knew were the scriptures that. But they camouflaged it and hid it from the average reader, because everybody thinks that whatever the Bible says is correct. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Does that make him the god of this world? No. He just wants to be. But he ain't. He don't own this earth. He's a temporary possessor, illegal. He don't have no birthright. And his children, who were mixed with the blood of Judah, and later became Pharisees and Sadducees in the Bible, and I can prove that. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, you'll see exactly what it says about the Kenites being the scribes. Yeah, it really says that. Scribes being Kenites. And what did the Messiah say? He said, beware. Beware of the Kenites. The scribes. Well, if he wanted to see where I described this, do you think that they would tell the truth? Not when it would go well for them to lie. 1 Chronicles 2:55, and the families of the scribes, which dwelt at Jabel. Oh, at Jabel. That would have been Yabba. Bell worshippers. These are the scribes. These are the Kenites. These are the Kenites, the scribes. Kenites. Beware of the scribes. That's why Christ was telling us to check the lineage of where he came from. He asked them. He said, Christ, whose son is he? And they said, oh, you're the son of David. Well, if he's the son of David, then David would have to, for Christ to be a Jew, David would have to have Jewish blood in his veins. Well, did he have? No. So, yes, he did. I thought, better glory to God, I heard my preacher say that David was a Jew. Just like Jesus was a Jew. And Paul was a Jew. They go on and on and on and on. But they can prove not one scripture. Does it say that David was a Jew? Look and see. Search it out. You're going to have to burn some midnight oil. And if this will provoke you to burn the law, maybe you'll study and maybe you'll learn something when you go through the Bible. You'll find that David's bloodline was not Jewish at all. Matter of fact, David's bloodline was from the tribe of Jacob. You say, oh, well, heavens be. Mm-hmm. That's what I said when I thought. Heavens be. Somebody lied. Well, who would lie? Aren't the Jews liars? That's what the Bible said. Not all of the tribe of Judah is mixed with the blood of Satan. Now, some kept themselves pure. That's the pure tribe of Judah. Otherwise, they wouldn't inherit. Those that did mix will not inherit, and their offspring will not inherit. Yeah, we've got a people that are Khazarite. They don't even have no reason to claim bloodship. They just adopted the Jewish religion, and now these crafty people have come in as Khazaric, Eastern Mongolia, slopes and hills, and they came into Europe, and they've been chased out as vagabonds because they were mixed with the seed of Cain from the east. And when you look up the word Cain, it means from an oriental tribe. So Cain married into the oriental tribes of the earth. These are fierce warriors, brilliant, intelligent, crafty, and deceitful. And along with the Zionist plan, they have formulated a pretty good doctrine that has deceived the whole world. And the whole world is following after this doctrine that the Jews are God's chosen people, and it's not true. It's nothing against them. It just ain't true. The house of Joseph is God's chosen people. The house of Joseph, not the house of Judah. The house of Joseph has got the birthright. Now, out of the birthright family comes the Messiah. It was recorded in the Bible that the Messiah would come from the birthright blood of the birthright son. Well, Joseph was a perfect type of the Messiah, not Judah. Judah went out and whored around with the Canaanite. You can't never read in the Bible where Joseph ever done one thing contrary to the Holy Spirit. He was the perfect epitome of the Messiah. His life paralleled the life of the Messiah. No wonder that Christ's bloodline would be from the house of Joseph, because it perfectly types out the fruits and actions of the bloodline of Joseph, not the bloodline of Judah. Christ withstood the bloodline of Judah in John 8:44. Your father's a devil. Who were they? These were the house of Judah, sons and offspring and daughters, who had been blood mixed with the blood of Cain, the house of Cain. He said, your father is the devil, and he was a murderer. That was Cain from the very beginning. They were bloodline affiliated. Oh, yes, they were mixed with the blood of Judah. This is how the serpent got into the house of Israel. This is how the birthright was stolen. And if you're going to support that, no wonder that Israel is forever searching for the truth and can't find it. We've been blinded by the illusion that the Jews are God's chosen people. And it's not true. Nothing against the Jews, except those are cross-blooded. And anything else in Israel that's cross-blooded ain't going to inherit either. You're going to be cross-blooded, you're fornicating. And a fornicator sins against his own body. That's his own genetic. And therefore, he disqualifies himself many generations down the road before that can rectify itself if you're guilty of that. So you better keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world and keep your blood clean. Because Satan, the crafty one, is out to tantalize you, tempt you to mix your blood with all races in the earth, and they call it multicultural extensions of God's love, when it's actually creating hybrids that God didn't intend to create. And he'll kill everything that's not original. Everything that's not original is going to be destroyed. You say, oh, God wouldn't do that. God has killed more people. I've said this before. It sounds strange and it sounds so alien to our thinking about God. But be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. And if you go against his commandments, he'll kill you in a heartbeat. He'll destroy you in a heartbeat. He'll put you where the sun don't shine in a heartbeat. Because he ain't going to be mocked. You ain't going to get away with your sins. I don't care how easy the preachers have made it appear to you to sign your name on a church book, and you go out and live like hell. It ain't going to work. Yahweh is going to have the last word, and the word is, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew. Genesis 35:16, and he journeyed from Bethel. But what about the word Bethel? Joshua 7:2, we get into the actual compass location of Bethel. The house of Bethel, long before Bethlehem, Judea, ladies and gentlemen. There was no Bethlehem, Judea in the days that I'm talking about right here. Did you know there wasn't even a Jerusalem till 1000 B.C., 1000 years before Christ? And we're talking here at least 2,000 to 3,000 years before that era. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed the country. I wonder what mountain they got on. I wonder why they went up to view it. Was there something up there for them to see? Could it have been that they could have saw the name of their creator written in their language? Could this have been a sign for them to claim this territory as sacred, and that would provoke the prophets that came after them, Micah, to write that Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea, would produce the birthright son? I'm going to repeat that. Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea. Now tomorrow night, I won't be on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Wednesday. But I will be on a Thursday night. So we'll finish up part two. We'll get into the New Testament, and I'll show you where the scribes, they lied. And what the scribes do? Well, Christ knew what they did, and he warned us to beware of them. Now, somebody you're told to beware of, you better watch them. And yet people believe the scribes that said that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and the Christ or the prophets did not say that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. So everybody just jumps on that and says, well, the Bible said he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. Glory to God. And so the Jews must be God's chosen people because Christ was a Jew. Christ was not a Jew. About $1,000 if anybody could have he was. Or that he was born in Bethlehem, Judea. I know where he's born. The Bible tells me. And geographically, you can stick your finger right in the location. It certainly is not Bethlehem, Judea. Oh, surprise, surprise, surprise. Yes, it is a surprise. It was a surprise to me when I found it out. I hope it don't upset your apple cart and cause your righteous apples to rot. I mean, let this be truth, a springboard to going into Revelation. The Bible said if you continue on with the truth, you're my disciple. And all truth will come at once. It comes in spurts very slowly for me. I don't know how it comes for you. But if you get in your truth, it's stranger than fiction. And people will not believe because they'll believe a lie. You can preach tradition, and they will put money in your pocket. You preach the truth to them, and they'll take money out of your pocket. And that'll cause you all kinds of trouble. Bethel. Joshua 16:1. Listen to me now. And the lot, now we're talking about lots. L-O-T means territory granted. Allotted territory for the 12 sons. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho. You see, Jericho is not in the land of Judea. It's in the land of Joseph. You wouldn't know that if you go over there now, because them lying Jews will tell you that it's their territory. It's their land. And they lie. It fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Bethel. So the mountains of Bethel were the name of Yahweh, the birthright territory, the home place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph inherited to have the birthright to produce from his bloodline the Son of God, who would be the heir to the birthright. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if the Jews have the birthright, then all this in the Bible is wrong. But if you've been made to believe that the Jews have the birthright, by believing in something that's written in the Bible that wasn't written by the prophets, then you believe the lie and been damned. And you become a victim of deception. And I'm telling you, it's very easy to become a victim of deception. That's what the devil does. He lies. He's good at it. He's the most convincing liar that's ever been on planet Earth. Or in the heavens, for that matter. and the lot of Joseph fell upon Bethel. From Bethel to Luz, and the border went over toward Luz, to the side of Luz, which is Bethel, towards the border southward, descended to Ephor Adar, near the hill that lieth on the south side near Beth Horon and Beth Abab and Zimran and Beth El. And so then, the territory, the allotted territory of the sons of Joseph were to inherit the birthright home place of their father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and pass this distinctive honor 2,000 years later on to a man named Yahweh Yeshua, Yahweh the Savior, who came in the flesh, who came and conquered, born in Nazareth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that from Nazareth to Bethlehem, Ephratah is 7 miles? And from Bethel or Nazareth to Bethlehem, Judea, it's over 40 miles. You think that Mary rode a mule 40 miles when she was heavy laden? From Bethlehem, Judea, up to Nazareth. Why did she go up to Nazareth for so far away? If that was the home place, if that was where they paid their taxes. See, they went to where they were to pay their taxes. They paid their taxes in Galilee and in Pelman, Judea, proving to you that they were from the area that they went to pay their taxes in. And the Messiah was born in Galilee. He was a Galilean. He was not a Judean. Not one verse of Scripture will verify that he was a Judean. But you get plenty of Scriptures that says he was a Galilean. Quite a bit of difference. And so the birthright came right out of. Now I've got to get out of here. My time is off, come and gone. Let me close it out right here by saying this. You can have this information by writing Pastor Buddy. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to email me, you can email buddy1, that's lowercase, buddy1 at centurytale.net. Buddy1, the numeral 1, at centurytale.net. If you'd like to have a website, just call me or write me or email me. I'd be glad to send you our website. We've got a lot of articles written on this subject that I've expressed to you tonight, the missing birthright. And we'd be glad to transfer you a copy through email over to you in file form where you can file it, and you can study it and check the Scriptures and prove to yourself beyond a reasonable shadow of doubt that the Messiah was not a Jew, but he was an Israelite. Oh, happy day. Praise God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you would be so kind to give me a radio check wherever you're listening, call me collect if you have to. If you don't have the funds to call me collect. Give me a radio check. Tell me where you're listening and what area you're listening in. On the internet, we are a 100.3 tonight in the great state of Idaho. And we're going to the uplink to satellite around the world. And the uplink on internet radio. And we are being downloaded on micro broadcasting systems that cover an area of 66,000 miles. And we're live. We're one of the live shows that come in every night, except Wednesday night. We won't be on tomorrow night. But we will be back here on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for 1 hour, joining you live to give you some Bible study, give you some, maybe, hopefully, some new perspectives that you might look into the Word of Yahweh and be grounded and rooted and settled in the revelation of truth. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. And let me tell you this, Yahweh will give you the blessings and the sure mercies of David if you'll just keep on keeping on for the searching of the truth. Now, the truth of Yahweh is forever settled. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away.